Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Troy. Troy is the founder of Courier. Troy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mustafa.
So a brief background about yourself prior to starting Courier, what you've been up to.
Sure. So I'm a software engineer by trade, but I've been leading teams of software engineers for almost two decades now, so dating myself quite heavily there. Once upon a time, led engineering at a company called Eloqua, which was in the marketing automation space, a leading email marketing automation provider that we took public and sold to Oracle. Subsequently to that, you know, led engineering for a number of other startups in political science space, in the logistics space, and have really focused a lot also on mentorship and participating in things like Hackwrite, which is a basically a program to help train women to transfer from other careers into engineering and just finding other ways to give back to the engineering community.
Got it. Courier. Why Courier? You know, we want to hear the story behind it because I've spoken to a lot of founders and sometimes you get to hear interesting stories of how they came up with the idea. So were you drunk and in an Uber you came up with it, or it was a well thought out process?
Yeah, so for Courier, it's really ultimately what happened with Courier is I needed it, and I was leading a team. The team was building a collaboration product, and they needed to be able to send notifications to our users, and it needed to be better than just like a traditional just email notification. We needed to be able to send in-app or mobile push or email, depending on context of like, is the user online or not? And I was like, hey, we should just steal from the best here. We should just do it like Slack does it, right? And so we looked into how does Slack do this and learned that, oh, actually, this is pretty challenging stuff. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, we're probably not going to be able to build this ourselves. We don't have the time or the resources. So let me just go buy this. So took my checkbook, walked down the street to Twilio, said, hey, I'm here to buy, right? Here's what I need. And learned, not only did they not have anything to solve for notification infrastructure, but neither did Amazon or anyone else I talked to. And I talked to a bunch of friends who were VPEs or CPOs and learned everybody was building this themselves. So ultimately, the kind of genesis of Courier was I needed a notification infrastructure platform to handle all of our notifications and transactional messages. Couldn't find it. And like any engineer, decided to build it.
Got it. Nice. So how's the journey been so far? Product market fit, the holy grail of startups.
What was right. So it's been a fast start. We're only about 20 months old. So we'll be 2 years old in April. The first few weeks of Courier were insane. We raised a seed round from the former VP product at Twilio in basically the first week. And then the second week we were accepted into Y Combinator. Y Combinator is amazing. If it's amazing at anything, it's amazing at drilling into your heads the importance of finding product market fit and the process by which you iterate to achieve it and you just execute. And really that's been the story since then. So I think when we think about product market fit, we think of ourselves as nearing the end of that journey, but not quite there. Right, where we think that we're now close enough that we can kind of project how close we are based upon what you hear from the market and what you hear from existing customers. Like, you know, eventually you get to a point where you keep hearing the same things over and over, right? And so we're at the point where, you know, that's something where in Q1 we're still focusing a lot on that, but we're already starting to look beyond it into the growth stage of the company.
Got it. Makes sense. Making the conversation much more relevant towards today's time, you know, COVID and in regards to, so it has acted as a catalyst for a few companies while it has affected the others. So how has it been for Courier?
You know, I think that there's multiple ways to answer that, right? So there's the personal level for myself and our team. And of course, there's challenges
there. From a business
there.
Perspective, from the person will come after that towards the mental health and everything, the team activities after that.
So from the business perspective, I don't think it has impacted us particularly one way or the other. from in terms of customer growth, right? There's obviously team-based issues that you have to deal with, but from in terms of our success in the marketplace, I suspect that if we were further along, it would have helped us, right? Mm-hmm. Because we do see more companies needing to have more sophisticated ways of communicating with their users, right? And with their customers. So we do think it probably would have helped us more if we were further along. But when you're in this early product market fit journey, I think it's very hard to see the effects of those macro scale trends unless you happen to be in one of the industries where you're very, very heavily affected by it. You know, we have a number of friends that, you know, YC founders who were in spaces that were, you know, essentially destroyed by COVID, right? Where the core of their business no longer made sense during shelter in place. We were fortunate to not be in that group. We also weren't in the group of folks who maybe their business didn't make sense before COVID and now all of a sudden does or is massively accelerated by it. So I say we're somewhere in the middle.
Got it. Makes sense. So now from a team perspective, you know, the mental health of the team as a founder, they are workaholics by nature, right? For me, like I'm into sales in my company. For me, it used to be like when I used to get back home, I used to kind of like hit the sack. I'm like, okay, my day is done, right? Mm-hmm. But now my home is my office, right? So
right.
I wasn't able to trigger my body to come down to the point, like the body and the mind to sleep down. And I started feeling the burn in June, but I kept on going. And in July, my team kind of like pushing me back. Hey, dude, relax, relax, you know. So then we started coming up with tweaks, internal policies. Okay, we need to do this. So did you feel those kind of burns and how were you able to navigate through them?
Yeah, I would say for myself, it was a little, maybe perhaps a bit different. You know, it's one of those, every cloud has a silver lining kind of things, I think, because, so I have three young children and pre-COVID, I wasn't seeing them a lot, right? I was out into the office early and I was back late, you know, and now it's not that I'm working any less, to your point, probably actually more because there's those lines are so heavily blurred, but the lines are blurred in the other direction too, right? Where, you know, my kids can sneak downstairs in the middle of their school day because they're just on Zooms upstairs and I'm just on Zooms down here. Yeah. They can pop in, give me a hug or say hello, or I can go upstairs and check in on them and spend 5 minutes helping them with an assignment that they're working on. So I think that there's absolutely been beneficial aspects to it. And to me, I think for me, it's personally outweighed the cons at the personal level. But I think from a team perspective, it's been much tougher.
God. Makes sense. And how have you been able to cope up with the teams? Did you practice some kind of like activities within the teams or anything like that to keep a tab on the mental health of the team?
Yeah, so you know, I think that this is an area where we didn't do very well at the start, and took
far too long. 3 months to come up with policies because no one was realizing it. Because the first 3 months was primarily survival, and a lot of individuals just getting to be where comfort is, where home is. So the first 3 months, the focus was on that.
Well, and you know, naively in retrospect, I thought that we were all going to shelter in place for a few weeks and wear our masks and this thing was going to go away and we'd get it under control like they did in Wuhan. And obviously that's nowhere close to the case. Right. And so I thought, hey, we'll just power through. It's just going to be a weird month or so. Right. And I think I didn't react fast enough as I realized that probably wasn't the case. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe it'll be like a couple more months than I thought. And obviously it's been much, much longer and we've still got quite some time to go. And really it took until midsummer for me to really say, you know, something's got to significantly change here. We'd been working remotely since March. Previously to that, we were in the office. One of the difficulties for a small startup like myself and herself and probably a lot of the folks you talk to,
yeah,
is when I would talk to friends who were founders of later stage companies, and I would ask them about a lot of the pain points of working remotely. For them, it was a lot about process and tooling. We actually had reasonably good process and tooling for remote work, maybe by happenstance, I'm not sure, but that really wasn't a pain point for us. Mm-hmm. What was a pain point for us was culture building. And I would ask those founders about that. And what I would hear from them is, here's how we maintained our culture. And I'd say, that's not what I want to hear. What I want to hear is, how do you build culture in a remote environment? Because we were a team of like 5 pre-COVID, and we're about to be a team of 15, and a bunch of people we've never seen face-to-face have come on board. And the company really wasn't built for that. And we didn't think through, what are the rituals? What are the things that make being a teammate at Courier, you're at Courier when you're not in the office? And that was something that it took quite a long time to really settle on. Hey, that has to change. And there have to be new things that we're enrolling ourselves as teammates into, to make sure that we're building these bonds and building these connections between ourselves and between ourselves and the company.
God, makes sense. Last question, you know, so I'm sorry we could have talked for another half an hour, but my marketing team kind of like forces me to keep them within.
Sure. Customers. Absolutely.
Where do you see Courier 3 years from now?
Great question.
We're putting timestamps on this.
Yeah. 3 years from now, where we plan to be is, we like to think of ourselves as becoming the sensible default for software to human communication. So what we want to see specifically 3 years from now is, every B2B software product that you're building to, you know, in your dorm room or as a, you know, incubated startup at Y Combinator or other accelerator, we think that all of them will be using Courier, because we're going to be tackling all of the problems that engineers typically have to build out themselves, but wish they didn't. We've got a long run to get there. We're just getting started, but that's really what we're pushing hard on.
Right. Hopefully you get there, and all the best, Troy. Thank you so much for being on the show, and all
absolutely
the best to you and Courier. And hopefully we'll keep on hearing amazing news coming from your end.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.